What's up, Bachelor Nation? We're back after the Rose podcast talking about Caitlin and the Bachelorette. I'm Molly Leitch.
I'm Megan Cruz.
It's week 7, we think. We're so excited.
We don't know what week it is.
It's week 6 or 7. I think it's week 6 episode. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're really excited. We feel that we have a lot of new listeners. So we really
have individually received singular text messages.
I've gotten a lot of feedback from Bachelor Nation.
Shout out to someone who said they really enjoyed the guard as penis metaphor.
I think that for every one person that we hear from, that represents 10,000 listeners.
I thought you were going to be like, for every one person, we'll donate something. I was like, Molly, we don't have anything to give.
For every one person that tells us that they've listened, we'll donate $1 to Lou Gehrig's.
We will ice bucket challenge every dollar.
Dude, they have enough money. No, we'll click another. No, we're not going to do that. No. I don't give a dollar.
This has gone swiftly downhill. I was like, it's not going to be all right tonight. It's 2 a.m.
I was like, no,
I'm really tired.
Yeah, but I picked her up from the airport.
I'm totally ready for this. Totally ready. Week 7, week 6, who knows what week it is. All we know is that there was a rose ceremony.
Oh, well, we ended on a cliffhanger with Ian. Remember?
Yeah.
Our track star hero who has no sense of humor and so
he is really a humorless bastard. Like,
yeah, he's just one of these guys who has an image of himself as handsome and smart, and like he can't shut up about how he went to Princeton.
Oh my god.
There's nothing more annoying than somebody that goes to a good school that constantly references that fact as evidence of their superiority.
Well, and he kept doing the thing that it's like this she doth protest too much thing where he's like, I am such an interesting guy. I am the deepest thinker you know. Where it's just like, if okay. But
yeah, Caitlin's just sort of, she says, sense of humor is important to me. You don't have one. Get out of here.
Yeah, he really
doesn't. Why are you being so mean?
Like, but he also, I think one of the like most interesting parts of that moment was how he was kind of angling himself to potentially, he was like, if I was the Bachelor, the women would be so interested and so interested in my deep thoughts. And I feel like he was trying to like potentially leverage himself to be the next Bachelor, which is like, you can't be like, you have to be funny and well-rounded.
They never learn that every other season some villainous guy gets into the limo and says to like whoever's driving it, as though they don't know that they're being filmed, that this isn't going to end up on the show. They're just like, man, like, blah, and they just say like horrible shit, and then they're like, I should be the next Bachelor. It's like, that's not going to happen. and he had specifically said, I'm too self-aware, and then at the same time he has no sense of himself in the sense that like he will never be the next Bachelor. Like, how does he not know that he's like, you can't go on the show badmouth the Bachelorette and then expect like women to swoon. Like, no, we'll see him again
episode 11 or whatever it is where they all come back on.
Yeah.
And he'll be like,
the men tell
they'll
all.
Rehash.
Yeah. He may or may not be on Bachelor in Paradise.
I don't think he will be.
Have they announced the cast of that?
I know that, like, both the Ashleys are supposed to be on it.
Yeah, they've...
Both crazy, like, Shrooms Ashley and Virgin Ashley. Both Ashleys who were also in previous episodes of this season.
Man, yeah, some people just sign on, they're lifers. They're like, I'm gonna attend all the Bachelor events. Cool. Ian drove away in the limo, he's gone. Nick comes in and they talk for 20 minutes and
that was interesting because I really do go back and forth on Nick. Like, I don't trust him, I dislike him, and yet at the same time there are moments where I'm like, I don't know, like, He's winning. Like, he has a certain charisma, but he definitely did come in and he was like, how do you feel about what happened with Ian? She was like, my blood is boiling. I feel awful. And he was like, I never make you feel awful. Let's talk about how I make you feel. And it was sort of his narcissism is coming out. Yeah.
I was going to say this for later, but man, it's not how I feel about Nick. It's just, I feel like it's a runaway at this point, and I feel like he's ruining the show. Like, it's just like a bummer.
He's taken over.
It seems clear to me that Caitlin likes Nick the best and is like going through the motions with the rest of the guys. Like, she's continuing the process because, like, it's a show and she has to. But I think that in her mind right now, it's all about Nick. And the same thing happened with Desiree's season, which Megan didn't see, but Desiree, about pretty early on, she decided it on Brooks, and, like, it was pretty clear that she liked Brooks the best, but, like, she was a little bit better, like, it was a little more equal with, like, the other men that she gave affection to, but she was all about Brooks, and then at the end, Brooks was sort of like, man, my head wants to be with you, but my heart doesn't, and, like, Brooks broke up with her.
When
there was only three.
He said that his heart didn't want to be with her?
Yeah, he said, my head wants it. He's like, she's like, you don't think that we could be together? And then he says, I don't feel it.
Oh, shit.
And he breaks up with her on the beach and is just really sad. And he really looked like a guy that I used to have a crush on in grad school, so it was really awful for me.
Who was it?
Shut up.
I'm just really curious. Sorry. you dropped a shared
John Jepson. John Jepson. The love of my life. The one that got away. I wrote several stories about him in grad school and talked about him constantly. So I'm sure the secret's
out. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. John Jepson looks just like Brooks. Anyway,
but they got together later, right? Like,
no. What happened was Brooks.
Talking about John Jepson or about Brooks and Desiree?
Dude, forget about John Jepson. We're not going to talk about my relationship with John. Jesus.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my God. You're killing me.
I know. Between that and the dog puns.
Oh, man. Why don't I ask you about some of your humiliation?
Oh, no, don't do it.
No. So Brooks left, and then there were two remaining contestants, and Desiree was just like, fuck. Like, I wanted to marry Brooks. Like, now what do I do? Like 3 days later or something, she's all, oh, man. I realize now that how I felt before was not real at all, and in fact, I'm in love with Chris, and she totally married Chris, and they're still married. But
what? Yeah. Really?
Desiree and
Chris.
Oh,
that was what you were talking about the quick turnaround and that.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, ability to just be like, huh? Nope.
But anyway, the point of that long digression was that the single-mindedness that Caitlin is expressing towards Nick reminds me of Desiree's towards Brooks, but even worse. Like,
yeah.
It really seems to me like Caitlin is smitten with Nick. And the only other close runner is Sean B, and I think that Sean B is about to lose his mind. But anyway, we're getting ahead. But, like, so I'm just disappointed. I know that it's really riveting right now, but I don't know how they're going to sustain this for another 6 episodes if she's just into Nick. So something has to change.
Yeah, and something, I mean, again, we're getting way off course, but something is changing. Like, she's clearly going to have some kind of, I mean, first of all, that is going to be a problem. It, like, the guy's finding out about that. And Nick sort of running his mouth.
Oh, man.
Should we get back on track?
Let's bookmark that, because we haven't even gotten to that, like, whatever it is we're referring to. Some stuff happens later on that was teased all throughout the season, as you all know. Caitlin sleeps with somebody. I wonder who it is. But anyway, rose ceremony. Did we talk about the rose ceremony?
No, not yet.
Jesus, this episode's going to be like 3 hours. It's going to be like The Godfather. You're going to have to put in a second tape.
I'm sorry, Molly.
Oh, Megan, don't be sorry. I'm sorry. I snapped about the Jepson thing.
It's okay.
Okay, rose ceremony. This handsome boy modeling school, Justin Kidd.
Yeah, he's got the plushest lips. They're so plump and terrible.
If only he had made more of an impression, I thought that maybe he could
be... Did they go on any kind of date? I don't remember.
I don't know. But I remember when he got eliminated, he was very graceful, and he walked up to her, and he, put his arms on her shoulders, and he was like, "You're such a sweetheart. I hope you find what you're looking for," and, hugged him.
I didn't hear him say that. I saw him walk away. I didn't see
him. He was really sweet. That's good. And I felt like it might have been, his last moment on TV, and maybe, hey, maybe don't
forget about me. I feel like he's going to be on, Top Model or something. He'll be fine.
Yep.
Fine. your lips are so moist and plump.
And then Josh the welder, who completely lost it last episode, was eliminated.
I'm so thankful that he went out without being a crazy fucker.
I wish that he was a crazy fucker.
I really have a lot of
You like him.
I do, because I don't think he has
much
experience. He
was sad. He almost cried, and he was the first, he would have been the first crier we've had.
I think that he didn't know how to act, he just didn't know how to be with
somebody. Yeah, he wasn't very eloquent. He really, he blew it. He didn't mean to. It was sad.
Mm-hmm.
But Caitlin,
he backed himself into a corner where he was just like, that whole scene where he was all these guys think this, was just this kind of classic baby attitude where he thought he could manipulate, but he didn't have any idea how to do that,
He kept that goddamn haircut.
I know. He will be wearing that haircut for the rest of time.
He got out of that limo and immediately went to a barber.
I hope so. I don't know that he did, though. He's probably still wearing it.
Well, by the time they have, the mental all, it will have grown out naturally.
What if it hasn't, though?
What if he doesn't? He probably hasn't showered or, cut his fingernails or shaved. Or, he's going to come out, he just got out of the woods. He's wearing the same outfit. He's got, the vest on. It's all dirty. His hair is all disheveled. Oh, man.
He's in a concentrated mourning. He's like, when I do cut my hair, I'll save it.
He saves it in a jar for Caitlin.
Yeah.
He mails her a piece of his hair.
Sad. I love him. He's so sad.
He needs a good
small town girl. He's totally gonna be fine.
Man, 24 out of 25 of these guys are gonna be just fine. whatever. You didn't win a bride on TV. There's other fish in the sea.
It's that moment when Caitlin is with Ian and she's like, "You don't think I'm here because I believe my husband's here? You don't think I think my husband's here?" And it was at this moment of just being like, what world are we in that we're all trying to sustain this belief,
Yeah.
It made me question myself.
Ian's I'm here to find a wife. You're not here to find a husband. Jesus, just live your life.
Yeah, he was like, I want the Caitlin who cried when her heart was broken, not the Caitlin who made a dirty joke. It's like, Caitlin, you could have had him, but you had to act more broken.
Right, it's her loss. Oh, bummer. I should have been more serious. Then I could have dated Ian. Oh, we could have heard about Princeton all the time.
Ugh.
A dick. What was his job? Do you remember?
gross.
Oh, Ian, we hate you. The show made you a villain and we're latching onto it. No, he really was lame, though.
Yeah, he was.
Do you remember? It was executive something, and he lived in L.A.
So. I don't remember what it was. I know that Nick's is executive software salesman or something like that.
Half of them have the word executive in the title.
Except for JJ, who's got former. So that we know he's rich.
Former investment banker.
Which, P.S., why are they keeping JJ around?
Nobody knows.
He just keeps showing his penny loafers.
And then
he'll always be like, "Caitlin, we got the best connection." And you're like, we see none of that.
Yeah, no, he said something pointed in the last episode where he said, "I keep it under wraps, but, Caitlin and I have a connection."
They must, right?
Yeah, and there's, you always hear about later where, they send a lot of notes between each other. Like, Caitlin went on the Good Morning America after, and I Googled
it. Did you see it?
I watched on the internet later. I didn't, like, get up and, like, watch Good Morning America.
But you saw it?
How was it? I saw it. She was real classy. She was really sweet and bubbly and happy. And they asked her about Ian. She was just like, she said, he needs to eat a piece of humble pie, which I thought was cute.
Oh, nice. I wish she'd said...
And she sort of...
Wait for it. I wish she'd said, eat crow. Because then it would be like this double whammy for her fear of birds.
Yeah.
Come on, Molly.
Yep, that's good.
Also, Molly and I'm really liking to torment Molly with some puns now. I usually hate puns, but liking to torment her with them. Sorry. Just gonna let that go.
I was worried she was gonna bring up all the puns that she told me earlier, but
I'm just gonna let everyone's minds just do the walking for me. Like okay. The dog.
Oh god damn it, Megan. I quit my job as a scorer for a well respected scoring company, which I'll remain nameless, and I took my old job as a dog walker because, you know, like writing and being creative and producing shows like this and doing stuff like that is, like, it's fun, but, I mean, taking care of rich people's pets is, like, my life's passion, so, like, so I went back to the dog walking, and I always work for these companies that have, like, the worst, like, punny names to them. Like, I'm not gonna tell you what the names are, because, I mean, we don't need to get into all that, but
seriously, they're intensely, the names are, like...
I interviewed for a job that was called Muttley Crew Cuts. So let's see. Yeah. So Megan loves to give me like dog puns.
Yeah.
She texts me them constantly. Like, I got bit by a fucking dog today. My first day back on the job, and this little chihuahua took a fucking chunk out of my leg, which is I haven't been bit in years.
You fed me this one, but. Rough day, Molly.
Yeah, because Megan was like, oh, I need a pun for it. And I was like, oh, that's a rough deal. Like, you should. And then she said, like...
He sounds ferocious.
Ferocious. Yep. What happened? Oh, Megan. I hope you're enjoying our time together, because I'm going to murder you at the show. So you're pulling all my skeletons out of the closet.
I know.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm being like I guess I was gonna reveal the dog walking thing on the show. I don't know why I was like
I
felt outed for some reason.
You
like,
know, you should, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You should keep me on a shorter leash.
Oh.
Okay, now I just cemented my murder. My murder is happening.
No, I think you just like that was your lifeline, man. That was good. That made me happy. I circled back around.
Okay.
Back to the goddamn show.
Okay, back to the show. Bachelor Nation, get it together.
Yeah, Bachelor Nation. Where were we?
So, they had the rose ceremony, and then...
And then they're going to Dublin.
They go to Ireland, and she totally picks Nick for the one-on-one date.
Yeah, much to the consternation of everyone else. They were
Which also a bold move. And, you know, the person I was watching it with, like, brought up a good point where it's like, how often does she get to pick the dates? And how often are they discerned by, like, you need to take this guy out or let him go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, the show sets it up. They always say, like, I have a lot of great dates planned for this week. So the show, it makes it seem like not only is she choosing who she's going out with, but she's choosing what they do and all that stuff. Like she just called in the Cranberries and was like, hey, private concert for my date.
I mean, I have them here for later. Molly, don't worry.
Oh my god. I'd be like, Cranberries girl, no. You still got some good years in you. You don't have to do these small time gigs. You don't have to be on The Bachelorette. You're better than that.
Don't get on the big and rich level.
Oh god.
I mean, Caitlin completely like came into the room. She sits down with all the guys. She's like, somebody here's going on a date. Like, it was sort of a, like, poor form.
Yeah, she didn't handle it well. And I remember one of the guys was like, hey, maybe we could all go on a group date. Like, let's go right now. Like, they were just like, please, don't just choose Nick. And she's just like, sorry, Nick. Yeah.
Sometimes I think Twitter has a point that Caitlyn's a stupid bitch, but, like, I like her still, I don't know. But sometimes she's a little, she's not handling the Nick thing. Like, you have to hide it, you know? You have to...
Yeah.
You can't be so...
I do think their date seemed awesome, like, it was... Except they have been...
Well, all they did was walk around and drink whiskey, like, of course.
Yeah,
like,
I know, it sounds perfect.
Yeah, it was rad. So, it was totally rad.
Sounds like my ideal date. Like,
did they really not do any activity other than that? Did they just walk... They walked around and went to bars and stuff, and then they went to the church?
They saw someone go up on a unicycle.
I was about to say, that sounds gay.
And lame.
Yep, sorry guys. Every now and then, the 12-year-old in me from 1994, when that was okay. I mean, it was never
well,
okay.
Well, the style is coming back. Also, P.S., we should add to our list of topics the Brit cameo at the end with her mom.
Oh my god, are you talking about her outfit?
Weird. Her outfit, mixing seasons. She's like, here's my summer dress. Here's my winter hat.
She is seriously straight out of 1992. Is that what made you think of it? The fact that I said the words 1994?
Yeah, that's, exactly. Yes. It's 1994 at Evergreen College in Washington, where you're like, oh, I want to smoke pot in my 90s dress.
She's so beautiful,
and
I'll
wear my
though.
Knit cap.
She...
You still have it for Brit?
No, well, okay, so a thing happened at the end of that little segment, because her mom was like, her mom was all, oh, it looks like you have a new friend, and she's like, oh, why did she put him in the friend zone? And then she says, I don't think that's what she meant, and then Brit does this thing with her eyes where she, like, rolls them up and down, like, oh, is that what she meant? Like, it's just so fucking adorable. She's just like this, she's like the cutest little thing she did with her face, where she's like, oh, my mom. Like, I don't know. I think she's cute.
But oh man,
she's also just too tiny and perfect. I hate her. Like, I don't know.
I don't think she's tiny and perfect. I think she's a weirdo. I used to love her. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm having a lot of mixed feelings. I'm on a roller coaster.
I used
feeling.
To love her, but I had to kill her. It's a famous Guns N' Roses song.
Wait, isn't that what you told me earlier when you told me you were actually going to kill me?
It's like Othello, what he says about Desdemona, like, he's just like, yet she must die, else she'll hurt more men. That's how I feel
I'm
about
really
you,
not
Megan.
Hurting any men.
Doesn't really apply to this situation, just the dying part. And I really like that play.
All right, so back to the show. They drink a bunch of whiskey.
Jake
seems awesome.
They have dinner in quotes in a church.
Yeah, once more that I looked at it, I was like, no one ever picked, like, you could not actually, I paid close attention, you couldn't see any actual food on the plate. And
also, who the fuck eats dinner in a church? Like, go to a fucking restaurant. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. I guess, like, they can't set up, they could, though, I mean, I don't know. They're
you
always,
couldn't see any food. They didn't eat any food.
There's just, like, this table in the middle of a church.
Like, stop trying to create the facade.
And so they're getting really touchy. They're all, oh my god, we're so into each other. And, like, touching each other and, like, kissing. And Megan thinks that Nick stuck his hand up her.
I feel like there's a little finger banging under there. The camera kept zeroing in on her crossed legs and his missing hand. And then sort of enigmatic things where he'd be like, have a lot of feeling. We're like, what does that mean? Like, what? I have a feeling for you. I think that was what it was.
I have a feeling for you.
Oh, I think that was what it was. He said, I'm feeling for you.
Feeling. Yeah, I just realized with a bolt of lightning that Nick has a lisp, which is fine. But I realized that there was something weird about the way that he talked, or like this thing that was like... I remember from Andy's season, I was constantly like, oh, he needs to spit. He's got too much spit in his mouth. that's what it is. But which is fine, but now that I've heard it, I can't unhear it. So
I am still as someone with a lisp, I am
yours
still
yours is adorable.
But
and
I'm only
like
going on
one.
Context clues about this because I still don't know how to recognize it in other people, nor do I hear it myself. I only have heard that I have it.
You have it so much more slightly than he does. It's when...
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's only when he... It's like the... Like, feel... Like, well, what's a good word for it? I was going to say, like, thistle, but that's not fair, because that's thistle. How everybody says it.
Yeah,
thistle.
No, I mean, it's one of those things, though, like,
it's
I don't...
The S is a little more th, th.
But I don't... I mean, I can't really hear it in myself. I don't hear it in him, but...
It's like when Kristen Gleason says, shots, and it's so cute! Like, let's do shots. I don't even.
What did she say?
Shots. Shots.
Shots.
She may be listening. And Kristen, I love you so much. And I'm pretty sure you don't drink anymore. You have like a baby. But no, it's adorable. Like it's cute. It's cute on women, but a man, it's like you faggot.
Like, no, I'm sorry. Your fetish is bliss.
I can't believe it's like said a hard faggot on this show. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No, it's your hardline fetish though.
Anyway, yeah. So they're having this. They're touching each other, and I found this a little suggestive. The editing, they show a shot of the stained glass church, like juxtaposed with Caitlin's, you know, treacherous, whorish behavior. It's sort of an admonition,
like Madonna horror thing happening. Like,
what is she doing? This is not Fantasy Suite Week. Like, oh my. So anyway, yeah. She takes him back to the hotel.
I'm really happy that she did that. Like, I don't know, like.
I'm neutral about it just because I don't like Nick.
Yeah, but, like, who else? What, she's going to take Jared back and be like, hey, put your patchy facial hair all over my body.
I want her to just be genuinely falling in love with multiple people, and it should just be, like, a coin flip at the end on who she decides instead of how it would actually go, which is that you would, like, probably immediately pick one or at the most two men that you really felt a connection with, and the rest would just be dudes that you hung out with. But, you know.
But I do think, I mean, my prediction is that Nick will kiss and tell, Nick will talk too much, and that will sway her thoughts about him. Other guys will revolt, and perhaps she'll let Nick go because the, you know, the quote-unquote mistake. I do think that there's something about, like, somebody being like, yeah, this is what happened. We banged, and, like, I stayed all night in the, you know, like, we had some intimate times is poor form.
Because that's what happened. So the next morning, like Caitlin feels really guilty. And then Nick comes back to the guys and they're like, how did the date go? And he says, he tells them, he's really coy about it. He's all, oh, we drink a lot of whiskey. Oh, and then, yeah, she actually.
But he was coy in a gross way where he was like, yeah, and then, you know.
In this way where he knew that the audience that is watching him have this conversation knows what happened and that he also wants to tell them but is, like, trying to be respectful but not really. He wants all these guys to know that he is the front runner and that he just boned the Bachelorette 10 days early.
Yeah.
I know it's 10 days because on Good Morning America, Caitlin said, oh, I wonder if people would feel differently about it if I had waited 10 days for the Fantasy Suite. So I didn't realize this show moved at such a steady clip, but she said 10 days. Maybe she was just hyperbolizing, but, like, I don't know.
I guess, I mean, the other thing that I think about with Nick, it sort of, like, begs the question in my mind where it's, like, what? So besides the fact that he seems awesomely sexual. He seems awesomely, like, he's good at being intimate and being, like, working that.
Nick, but, like, good at kissing softly and, like, having.
Well, yeah. I can see you don't like him from the way you're speaking.
I've turned, man.
But, no, I mean, like, so it's clear that he's good at that, but who is he otherwise? Like, he reveals very little. It's like
any of them. But yeah, no.
I was listening to that to Terry Gross get interviewed on Fresh Air today, and was like, I mean, it came out a few months ago, but it was amazing because part of it.
Wait,
like,
who interviewed her? That's her show.
Somebody else. His name Mark.
I'm sure I won't know him.
I'll send it to you, but. We'll post it on the side.
No, we're not. I don't want to make any more promises. But no,
it's amazing because she was talking about how, like, one of the values in her family was not talking about herself. And I think about that where it's like, there are people who are very charismatic who can get by just being, you can just be charismatic and you don't have to, like, reveal anything. Like,
I sometimes wish and on I a were
Terry,
like that.
But, like, on a Terry Gross level, it's like, you're very designing. You are creating for yourself. Like, you are the sounding board for other people, and you're asking them questions that make them, you know, that illuminate them. And then you have a Nick who's, like, you know, she's like, he makes me feel like a woman. And it's like, but who is this guy? Like, what do you know about him?
But, like, paradoxically, he's also, like, narcissistic and, like, full of himself, but at the same time doesn't reveal much about himself. So that's interesting, man. It seems really calculated. And maybe all the guys are right when they're like, I just don't trust him.
I know. We're all going to go back to Joshua.
I think that it's one of those things of just, that's his genuine terrible personality. It's not he's putting on airs. I think he's just being himself. Like, yeah. They think that he's some sort of like, aha, I'm really like a sewer monster. Like, no. Like, he's just a guy that really wants to be on The Bachelor. You know? Oh, and then, oh my God, when they were having dinner, like, Nick is just saying, he keeps repeating, you know, it was like, I just had to come on the show. I had to do this at the Chance of Love. Like, it was this burden. Like going on a show where you get to go on free trips and, like, live in a hotel right. for 2 months and, like, be on TV. It's like, I made this sacrifice for a shot at love. It's like, you won the lottery twice, dude. I'm like, I don't know. That guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Megan.
Why are you sorry?
I feel like I'm being too hard on Nick, and you like him.
No, I don't like him. I just have a lot of complex, nuanced feelings about him.
I feel like mine are just, I'm just throwing shit at, like, I don't know.
No,
complex and nuanced.
No, I do feel...
I called him the F word earlier for no reason. Is that a thing?
You should never use that word
again. I really feel terrible. I really feel terrible that I said that. I, like, if I had the wherewithal to edit it out, I would, but it's first take, best take, but I'm really sorry again.
You're also, like, you know that movie, Bernie's Vacation?
Weekend at Bernie's?
Where they take a dead man around and they prop him up.
Is that a metaphor for this show?
No, it's just how I am right now.
Oh.
I'm Bernie. You're like, hey, Bernie, how's it going? I'm like, bah. I don't know, next grade. Like, we were bad.
Bernie didn't talk.
But if you made Bernie talk, are you making me talk right now?
Yeah. I've got my hand up your...
Wait, Molly.
I didn't know. I was going to say shirt, and then it was like I had nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go but up her shirt. I see how it
goes. Like, I was trying to make a metaphor that I was, you know, like puppeteering you, yeah. But then it sounded dirty and it was awful.
I know. It's too much.
I didn't mean to, guys.
You're losing your mind. Like, Sean was losing his mind.
Oh, my God.
In Bachelor Nation.
Sean cannot handle this shit.
Also, Sean's fashion was on point. Like, he can work a completely black suit, open, like, although there's so many bald-chested men. Don't men have chest hair, actually?
Not all men, but most do. Most at least have a little bit, so
they're probably, like, shaving and waxing and polishing up.
It's called, they use the term manscaping, which I find a little gross, but that there's some manscaping going on, certainly. But, and I mean, he's a personal trainer, so he's got that chiseled body that
he's legit gorgeous. Like, I keep looking at him and being like, you know, like, I am not one to usually find men gorgeous, but I'm like, you are a striking man.
He's become a little less attractive to me as it's gone on. As he's losing his shit, I feel like I'm doing that horrible thing where I'm like, you need to be strong. Like, I'm not attracted to you anymore.
his emotional breakdown is more attractive to me, like, than anything else, where he's like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, she is giving me nothing, and I...
He sort of revealed... Oh, are we... We're skipping ahead. We need to talk about,
The Irish Wake.
Yeah, the Irish Wake real quick.
That was super weird.
I really, like, once again, date that I would love, where I pretend to be dead and a bunch of men
actually,
talk
I should have
about...
thought about that. You would love that date.
I like how dark it is. It's super morbid. And she has a flask in her hand, which I thought was kind of hot. And she, like, she takes a sip from it, and she gives it to Chris Harrison, who also takes a sip, although I bet there was just fucking mineral water in it. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine Chris Harrison drinking on camera or ever, but...
The sad part to me about the wake, I mean, beyond the potential death, Benzie, one of my forerunners from earlier, this very strapping, striking guy, did well with the anacondas in the escape room.
He looks like a meathead.
I think I had really high hopes for him, and he's He has totally gone down a sort of a passive road of like, every, you know, every time she talks about him, she's like, yeah, Benzie, like, what a sweetheart, what a teddy bear. And everybody else, she has something to say about them, like, we had this great time or whatever. Like, he has fallen into a trope
of... Well, most of the guys, like, their personal story hasn't really been at the forefront, and they haven't been playing that narrative, but Benzie is just sticking with the narrative of, my mom died when I was 14. It's like, I get it, like, it's sad when your parent dies, but he's, like, in his 30s.
Well, and also, like, what are you, I mean, what are you building a relationship on at this point? Right. And, like, and so she's in the casket, like... In a short dress, looking around, he's like, "I'd like everybody to leave." And then there's like,
all say funny, lighthearted stuff.
Yeah, and like I mean, it was great. It was like this big cut up, you know, like to have everybody sing and oh god, poor Cupcake the dentist. I felt bad for the people who are just place fillers. Like he's a place filler.
Man, I mean, then you're gonna feel bad for most of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel extra bad for Cupcake.
I feel like Ben H. Might be a slow burn. I think he might. I think let's do. I'm ready to do my top four predictions.
Okay.
Nick. Sean. I'm just gonna assume that they're both gonna stay, even though I think maybe one of them might go. Jared. And Ben H.
Patches is what I call him.
Patches.
Because Beardo. Of his patchy facial hair.
Yeah, Beardo is too generous.
Wait, Ben H. is in your top four?
Yeah, Ben H. I've decided for some reason, because I think he's cute to me all of a sudden. He has a cute little face. I can't remember. Yeah, is he the one that gave up the chase with his ex, with his girlfriend, and like that was like the thing? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh,
because I have nothing in my head for Ben H. I just
yeah,
got a feeling.
I think that was. Yeah. No, it totally was.
I feel like
and
he's
he was the one
the
who
fourth.
Like was the sperm and egg composite in the sex ed class.
Yeah, he's going to be the fourth person eliminated. And, well, no.
Will
I
he
don't
be
know.
The next bachelor?
In that narrative, Sean B. and Nick would be the final two, but I just feel like that's too, I don't, I think yeah, that's too explosive. They can't,
it's way
they
too
can't.
Explosive.
So I don't know. That's just.
I think that, I feel like Nick's gonna, something is gonna happen with Nick that's gonna get him out of there. Also, I started following Andy on.
Oh, yeah?
On Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter, yeah. What's she up to?
Well, it was just small things where she was like, get the wine, ladies, for, like, the episode. Made me really feel like I was part of Bachelor Nation.
She tweets about Bachelor. I wonder if she gets paid to do that.
I don't know. I mean, they did make love.
I feel like if I were on the show, I mean, I watched the show, and I'm not, I wasn't ever on the show, so if I was on the show, I would probably continue to watch the show, so I guess that's fair.
I mean, in every world, we watch the show, is what you're saying.
After the group date, Sean B., like I say, he's come on unglued, man. I guess, so, I don't know if I knew this before, but apparently, at some point, Caitlin, like, came to his room, and they, like had like 6 or 7 hours together where they just laid like talked all night and she
I mean
was,
I think yeah.
And he really thought that he man his guard's coming down his penis,
oh,
penis
yeah.
is coming or it's going back up his penis is going up
I'm confusing that with I'm confusing it with her going like bringing back Villain's Got a Vill like that guy JJ's boyfriend.
What are you talking about? JJ's boyfriend is gone. Well, I don't know. Clint.
I feel like they came back, right? After they came back to her apartment for a minute after the pool.
Oh, I don't, man. That's a blur at this point.
I know, it's totally a blur, but I don't remember
I don't know
exactly.
If it was a plot point, really. I think he might have revealed that for the first time, or maybe they just alluded to it, but, anyway, so she, for whatever reason, I mean, Caitlin must have given him assurances and, like, they had some real genuine, like, alone time together and Sean really thought that he was the front runner. So now he's,
yeah.
Like, he can't handle seeing her kiss all these other dudes and particularly Nick. So, so on the group date, so Caitlin takes him aside and they, like, smooch and she, she reassures him that, like, that he still has a place in her heart or whatever, and then she gives the rose to Jared, and Sean is just like,
takes them to the Cranberries,
a private concert by the Cranberries, and they sing "Linger." You have to let it linger. That's kind of like not a romantic song, actually. Was it?
I don't know.
Do you have to let it linger? Well, we can unpack it later.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like... It's a lot to handle. I do love that song.
Okay, so this big off-camera, Sean, well, not, it's not off-camera because we saw it, but...
Oh, yeah, so Sean freaks out, and he's like, at some point he's like, I need to talk to one person I can trust, mm-hmm. and then they pan to him, maybe with a cameraman?
Like a producer, some sort of, it was not clear to me who it was, but I think Megan is correct that it was, like, production, somebody in production. And what does he say, Megan? He's just like...
He's just like, I just can't do this, I can't take this. Which I think, like, if he walks away, it sets him up to be the perfect bachelor candidate.
He says, that sound clip that they constantly play, teasing up to this episode, where he says, do you not know what we have? Like, he doesn't, it's assumed that he says that to Caitlin, but he's actually saying that to the camera, to this guy, to the production guy. He says, does she not know what we have? Like, blah, and he's just like,
they are masters of splicing in...
Yeah, they just fucking lie to you with the editing is what they do. Oh, I forgot about the crow that they cut to during the wake scene. I was like, this is some fucking filmmaking. Like, Werner Herzog should direct these, or like Neil LaBute or something. That would be a different show.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I trust you.
Oh man, just dark shit.
But it does beg the question of how she goes out much of everyday life, because they were at this park and it's like, oh, I'm scared of birds. Like, she and Nick are at this park on the date. It's like, birds are the biggest constant in this park. You know, like, there are pigeons everywhere. Like, there are birds consistently.
They're always putting them in weird situations, like having them eat dinner at a church when they know they're gonna bone after. Like, I don't know. They're really setting Caitlin up. Remember when they put those birds into the escape room?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Like, she's gonna come into her room and there's gonna be like a dead bird in her bed. like love Chris Harrison.
Just a horse. Like a bird.
Exactly.
A bird head in the bed.
Oh, that's a good movie reference you just made, Megan.
I try to impress
nice.
You.
Nice. I mentioned The Godfather earlier too. That's callback. Yeah, this show is a lot like famous films by Francis Ford Coppola and other greats. I feel like, the filmmaking has gotten better.
But then, so, the other piece that I was curious about is they have the trailer, and this was, I feel like one of the episodes where I just, like, I let go, where, like, when it ended, I was like, no, like, you can't end now. I want to know more, you know, but then they flash to the, like, the trailers from the next episode, and you see, there's a lot of drama clearly around Caitlin sleeping with Nick and la la la, but you also see somebody weeping on a bridge, and it looks like Chris Harrison.
You know, I don't know.
I watched it twice to try to, like, figure out who it would be.
How could it? What? Who? Why? Why would he cry? Why would he care about anything? Well, I haven't heard anything like this. On Andy's season, one of the cast members that had gotten eliminated, like, died in a tragic paragliding accident or something. Yeah. Maybe somebody dies unrelated to the plot of the show. But, no, I don't know. So, I don't really know what's going to happen next. I honestly, at the end of this episode, I felt defeated and bored. And
really?
I know.
I felt invigorated and curious. And
man, I just feel, I don't know how they're going to recover from Caitlin just being into Nick. I mean, they must, because they made some television out of it, but I don't know.
I don't think she's just in Nick.
I don't buy any of her other relationships at this point.
Yeah, I don't really either.
But
I guess I don't buy her relationship with Nick enough to have it threaten the, like, overall premise of
It's dating around. Just when you're watching a woman, and again, we're just assuming that this is real and not all staged. Like, I mean, we have to in order to take it seriously. But so assuming that this is real and all of these things that she's going through is true, Caitlin looks to me right now like a woman who is smitten with a man, and she thinks that the way she feels now is the way that she's always going to feel, and that, you know, she came here to find love, and she found her husband, and it's Nick. That's what it looks like to me right now. And so the going on with the rest of the charade is just, I feel bad for her, but not really, because, I mean, she gets to go on a bunch of amazing dates with a bunch of dudes before she, it's like an extended bachelorette party for the next, for the rest of the season.
And see, I guess I don't see their relationship that way. Like, I think that she's very, like, pulled in by it, particularly, like, they keep playing up the physical part, but they have not had, every single minute they're together, he pulls it into, like, how much he wants to worship her and how much, like, how wonderful it is. But they're not building any kind of, like, actual framework for a life.
I know, but, I mean, I agree, and I don't think that their relationship is built to last or that they'll, like, get married or and stay married. But, I mean, the show only lasts for 2 months, so she could stay in that state for that long and believe that that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I'm being too cynical. Hopefully.
No, I don't think you're being too cynical, but I do. I mean, I guess that's the piece that's missing for me when I actually think about it. It's like, why don't I think that they're going to run off into the sunset? And it's like, because I don't even know what he does, really. Like, never, he
sells software.
he is an executive software guy. But, like, they never speak about... Wisconsin or something. It's so different from the Chris Soules thing where they're like, this is what our life's going to live like, be like on the farm. Like, they don't talk about what their life would be like at all.
Well, that's true. That's true. It is always the case, though, that the bachelorette or the bachelor, their life is at the forefront, and then the people that they're dating... But no, it's actually pretty sexist, and it's often like what the man's life is and how the woman's life is gonna, like,
yeah, fit into but they that. I mean, they haven't spoken at all about whose life is like any kind of future.
I mean, even Sean B showed pictures of his family and stuff to Caitlin. He has a dog.
Yeah, I think that's part of what, like, made me
when he showed the picture, I didn't know if it was a dog or his kid, and I was like, oh, man, no, is he a kid?
I was totally looking away. I was totally looking away, and I was like, oh, God.
I'm like, oh, no, Sean has a kid? No, deal breaker. No. I feel like that would secretly be a deal breaker for Caitlin. I think she doesn't want to raise somebody else's kid.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter, because I don't think a couple of them left to have kids, maybe. I can't remember. Or maybe they don't. Didn't Sean B say that he went through a divorce and, like, he can't handle this shit because, like, honesty and trust and...
I feel like he said he went through... His parents went through a divorce.
Oh, for Christ's sake, these people with their fake stupid problems.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
My parents have a hard time. Oh. My parents lived in last forever.
My parents got divorced when I was 4. I turned out just fine. I'm a 33-year-old dog walker. It's great. All because my parents got divorced.
If I wasn't so sleepy, I'd think of a really good pun.
Woof. Woof. That's not a pun. That's just what you say when you're exasperated.
I know. It is. And then I learned that it's also what men say on Scruff when they want to tell each other they're attractive.
What is Scruff?
Scruff is like the Tinder for gay men. One of the Tinders for gay men. I thought
Grindr was the Tinder for gay men.
No, but Scruff is a little different, and you whiff at people if you like them. Oh. So it's sort of like double entendre, where I'd be like, I'd be like, Molly, like, had a bad day, woof.
Woof.
And it was... and, like, you know, Nick, in another context, it's like, I wanna... bone you right now. Woof. Woof all over you.
Oh, man. I don't want to woof any of these dudes. That's my problem.
Like, imagine if you opened a dog walking company called Woof, you could pull from, like, both the earnest crowd and the gay crowd.
I feel like people would be calling, like, expecting some sort of puppy love service, and I'd be like, no, I just walk your dog. Yeah. Or maybe I could expand.
I know. Keep your options open.
I'm not a goddamn entrepreneur. I'm not gonna open. You're no Ben Z. No.
I wonder what he entrepreneurs. I'm
no former entrepreneur. Now I just do The Bachelor full time. Maybe he quit his. Maybe he's not rich. Maybe he just quit his job as an investment banker because he thought that he could just make money off of The Bachelor for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's my plan.
They probably could if they manage their money right. I don't know how much they're pulling in. But
I think auditions are in Austin like next month.
I saw that they were auditioning for both Baltimore and Detroit, and it was like, oh, oh, they're trying to get some brothers on the show. That's my immediate thought.
Oh, but, Bachelor Nation.
Oh, man, because it always works out so well for them. When Jesus they try Christ. To bring in black men, they do really well. Oh, God. Any final thoughts?
No. I guess my prediction... I don't have any real predictions, except that... I don't know. I don't think that Shauna's going to leave. I don't think that's all she wrote, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to resolve that conversation, or if he's going to specifically bring up. She's so much weeping about the sex. It is hinted at in the next episode, and she's always wearing these weird rings that are like covering three of her fingers, and they're different ones every time.
Rings, I love them so much.
That's like her crying hand ring, though.
It's her signature, though. The rings are so good. That and the leather pants. I was really into the rings, but they have a lot of the spliced clips of her, like, being like, I'm so sorry. We're actually, like, her delighting in herself, pulling her hood over her face and being like, I just fucked Nick. Like, there's so much about this that is edited to, we just have to wait and see, I guess is what I'm saying.
What's very weird about those interviews, when the Bachelorette is narrating what has come before, what's coming later, mm-hmm. is, and this is a weird conceit of all reality shows. I remember they used to do it on The Real World, like one of the pioneers of the reality show, where they would go into that booth and they would say stuff. They talk in the present tense weirdly, where they're like,
yeah,
oh, and I don't know what's going to happen, or like, and, but like, it clearly has already happened and they're sort of acting or they're sort of narrating it, but yeah, they're the pretending booth is very like they're strange. Not. That's just a weird thing. So when she's crying, it's sort of like, when did this interview take place? You know what I mean? Or right. like, or when she's being all cute and being like, oh, whatever happens, happens. Like, did she say that before or after they fucked? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's, I don't know.
And I feel like it's probably all after, but it's really, yeah.
It must be all after, but they really like, there's some acting involved in that then. So. Yeah. And maybe the whole goddamn show for all we know. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I don't want it to be true. I want these people to be really like this.
All right, let's close it down. Thanks, Molly, for having me here.
This is your house.
I know, I'm really
We're
tired.
We're in Megan's bed. She's had a big day. She was on an airplane. You know, they serve a lot of water on airplanes. And now we're going to go to bed. Good night. We love you. Say goodbye, May.
We love you all.